But some people want to be in the fire. They don't want to get the light from the fire. They want to become the fire. That's not the way God did it. The oil, the essence of truth, it will give us light. If we apply our intelligence, then there will become a flame. The flame is fed by the oil. The activity of our own intelligence is fed by what God has revealed. But our activity is not in direct contact with it. We must get it from a distance. What is that distance? We may call it many things. But what that distance represents in one word, faith. Faith. Faith stands between us and what we are studying. And if you eliminate that faith, then you come into the fire. And baby, it'll burn you up. But as long as you have faith in what has been revealed, you don't come into that fire to influence it. That is, pardon me, you don't come into the oil, not the fire. Correction. You don't bring your own intelligent activity into the oil to influence the oil. Your own activity is separated from the oil by a space of faith. I have faith in this knowledge that God has revealed, that it is correct. Whenever there is an inclination or temptation to go in and alter what God has revealed, faith keeps me a distance. Faith keeps me a distance. And in this way, I get the benefit of the knowledge and my rational light turns on. And there is a flame sitting near the oil. Is that right? Oh, yes. A flame now is sitting near the oil. And it's preserved and protected by faith. And also the book is protected by faith. The disbelievers, they change the book. Those that don't have the right faith, they change the book. They change the oil. And the oil loses its original value. And then it can't produce the good flame for the world. Yes, this is the parable of God's light. But we need something else because light is best diffused when it has a glass about it. The light without the glass, it doesn't diffuse nicely. But when you put a clear glass about the light, the light diffuses nicely. And the heat is contained in the glass. And the heat is diffused evenly because of the glass. The light and the heat are diffused evenly and nicely because of the glass. So it's necessary for us to have the right conscience, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. If we don't have this, then somebody will get burned. They may go up and look at the light and stick their hand and get burned. But if there's a glass, they will stick their hand and hit the glass and won't get directly into the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet benefiting from the fire. Is that right? Here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. The knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. So if I give you knowledge through the veil of my character, and that veil is clear and pure, then you will get the knowledge in the right way. But if I give it merely from my intellect, I might use this knowledge in the way that the egoist, the egotistic person might use it. It's not being diffused justly and equally in a fine way, moral way, by good character. So when we see the wisdom of a man, we should see that wisdom first in the influence of his character. How does that man's character influence me? His wisdom should come with his character. And you should see character with his wisdom. But if you see wisdom and no character, that can't be God's messenger. That can't be a servant of God. that is teaching you wise things but impressing you with no character. His character should be morally right, should be refined, clean, and upright. It should not be tainted with lies and wickedness, filth, corruption. So that you see a good man that has knowledge. You see knowledge within a good character, as light within a glass. This is a parable of God's light, and it is so beautiful. It sets everything right, and it's loaded. Believe me, great scholars have written on this chapter. They have written books and books on this chapter. So we can't exhaust the knowledge of this chapter or these verses. But we're just making some comments here on the parable of God's light. The tree is gross matter, the olive is gross matter, but the oil come out and it permits us to look through it. The oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree, you can't look through the olive, but the oil is transparent. Which means that it admits understanding, it admits vision, perception. Oil being clear means that the knowledge that God revealed, it will show up other things. If I put an olive in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olive in the olive oil. And then if there's darkness and I light the olive oil, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show up what is in it if it's not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter, it will show up in the oil. Gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there's darkness, the light, the oil, has the ability, the power, to give off light and show us what is hidden by darkness. This is the way that God's light is. The purity of God's light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruit, the mic, 175-pound man, a blue garment, a red sheet, a white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth. The essence of truth. True knowledge strips gross matter of its grossness and shows us one universal light or one universal knowledge. This matter, what is it? What is the fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activity, growth. And the matter is composed of certain particles, small particles, and certain charges. When we begin to strip this fruit down, eventually we'll make this fruit transparent. If we begin to break the fruit up with knowledge, eventually we will make that fruit transparent. We will reduce that fruit to what? Energy. And energy is invisible, isn't it? What is matter? Matter is energy. Energy you cannot see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator, our lowest state, our purest state, we won't have gross matter anymore, we will have energy. So God's light is like transparent. Mean that God's light holds the knowledge for understanding the gross matter. With God's knowledge, you can understand the gross matter. You can remove the veil of the fruit and see its essence. Its essence are transparent. You can remove the veil of the 175-pound man and see his essence. His essence are transparent. You can remove the veil of the gross matter and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. What did Einstein say? Einstein said matter can be converted into energy, and energy can be converted into matter. He said that the visible world can be made an invisible world, and the invisible world can be made a visible world. I'm talking about Einstein, Dr. Einstein. So you great nuts, if you don't believe God's revelation, maybe you'll respect Einstein. I don't have no respect for this outright, rebellious, obstinate, evil, jealous, envious nut. No respect do I have for him at all. I like to crush his head with a ball ping hammer or something. Yeah. Why? Because he's not only injurious to us, he is destroying himself. Pretty soon he won't be fit for nothing. You know, if a person attack you, that's one thing. You can get away from him. But nothing is safe from his destruction. Even when he's alone, he's destroying what Allah has created. Allah has created him, and he's destroying himself. This is wonderful knowledge. Wonderful knowledge. This book is so far advanced over the world that you can't imagine. You can have no idea of just how far this Quran is advanced over this modern world. Their religious knowledge can't come near touching this Quran. Even their science doesn't have the concepts, the powerful concepts that this Quran has. No. If we understand it. The Quran is saying that God's knowledge is the truth. The truth. When you reduce truth down to its lowest term, reduce the truth down to its lowest term, strip it of all superfluousness, take all the garments of excess off it, strip it down to its bare nakedness. Nothing else is on it. Nothing is left but the very essence of truth. Then you will have no visible thing to look at. You will have nothing to look at with your physical eyes. You will have to look at it then with one eye. The two eyes won't see anything. You'll have to look at it then with one eye. Is that possible? Yes. Ayn al-Yaqeen. Allah says in the Quran that they shall see it with Ayn al-Yaqeen, with the eye that admits no covering, no veil, no covering. The eye that is seeing perfectly clear. Nothing is veiling, nothing is hindering the vision. Ayn al-Yaqeen. It didn't say Aynayn al-Yaqeen. Aynay al-Yaqeen. It didn't say two eyes. It said one eye. And the Quran mentioned two eyes. Say, didn't God give you two eyes? Aynayn? Say, haven't God given you two eyes? Aynayn? Walisanan, and as one tongue, washafatay, and two lips. So two eyes are mentioned as being necessary to see reality in our world. But there is coming a reality that can't be seen with this kind of vision. And the eye for that is not two eyes, it's one eye. Ayn al-Yaqeen. One eye of perfect vision. Saying they shall see it with perfect vision. Shall be no doubt, no question. This kind of vision you have when you see the essence of truth. To see the essence of truth, You have to get rid of this dual way of looking at reality. Let me continue now, the verse 36. Speaking of the light, continuing this talk on the light. Lit is such a light in houses which God has permitted to be raised to honor for celebration. These houses refer to mosques, synagogues, churches, and perhaps others that are not mentioned here. For celebration in them of his name. In them is he glorified, that is God, in the morning and in the evening, again and again. By men, verse 37, by men whom neither traffic nor merchandise can divert from the remembrance of Allah. Tijaratun wala bay'a. Tijara is commerce, and bay'a is business activity. Tijara is commerce, like if you go to Africa to see what resources that are there that you can bring back here for sale. That trip is a commercial trip. If you go anywhere to see what are the possibilities for you making some money on some investment, that's commercial. That's tijara. But if you're selling me right on the spot, you're selling me lamb or beef or something, and I'm giving you money, or we exchanging, you're giving me lamb and I'm giving you salt in exchange. We're having this bargaining, this deal. This is bay'a. This is selling. So this can be called business, the whole trade. The trade, commerce, and common business, all of it. This business, we may call it business, the whole business. Listen to what God says here. By men whom neither tijara or bay'a, neither the commerce nor the business divert from the remembrance of Allah. How many of us does not allow our business to take us away from the remembrance of Allah? How many of us keep our business subjected to Allah and what Allah wants? Allah is telling us, those who have his light, who follow his light, they don't allow business to take them away from the proper worship of Allah. They don't allow business to take them away from the proper virtues, the proper principles to follow. They don't say, this is my business and that is my church. This is my business and that is my mosque. We came here because we have faith in God. We came here because we want to be right. So don't think you didn't come here to have your feelings hurt or to have your own principles stepped on. Whatever has to happen, it has to happen. We come here to be right. These are the kind of people that are truly the people who have the knowledge that God has revealed. They are the people who don't put anything between God or up with God. Their business, they submit to God's will, to God's judgment. They don't allow their business to influence them to disagree or to disobey God. They don't compromise their religion for their business. No compromise. These are the right people. They don't allow business to take them from the prayer, regular prayer, or from the practice of charity. Some of us, the business will get us so much. We're so greedy. We have a plan. We want to have so much by the end of 1980.
because we want to do something with that by 1980. And we get so greedy to reach that goal for ourselves that we say, I can't afford to give no charity because I want to buy such and such thing by 1980, and in order to get it, I have to have all this in that business or in that investment. You got any guarantee that you will continue to have that source of income? First, respect Allah, and then He will protect you. I'm a living proof of it. I obeyed Allah. Many times I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I obeyed Allah. Many times I didn't know how the rent was going to pay, how the medicine was going to be, how I was going to get some medicine for my children. I didn't know. I obeyed Allah. It came. I am a living witness among you, because there are many that know this. Many know me, they know this. Many that are here today know this. I am a living witness that if you follow Allah all the way, He will protect you. He will preserve you. You're not going to die. You're not going to suffer no more than He wants you to. And your suffering won't be too much for you to bear. He's going to make you better by putting some weight on your muscles. He's going to make them better, healthier, and stronger muscles. Yes. I thank Allah for the test, and I welcome it anytime. If I was preaching for your money, I wouldn't preach to you the truth. I don't want your money. I don't come here for your money. I don't come here for your love. I don't come here for your praise. Don't give me no praise. Don't give me no money. Don't give me nothing. I don't want anything from you. I come here to serve Allah's will. That's all I come here for, is to serve Allah's will. Want nothing from you at all. If you give me something, I appreciate it. I thank you for it. And Allah will bless you for it. But if you give me something in the wrong attitude or the wrong spirit with the wrong mind, you won't get blessings for it. This is the beautiful relationship between the people, the leader and the followers. Yes.
Allah!